service with God. Sorry about that. It is, you know, that's the message of that song. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Slumdog Millionaire. Anybody ever said so? That's where that song appeared. You know, the message of that song is just all the time. It just seems like somebody's trying to take our money. And so it gets real messy, this whole deal, right? It gets real messy when we're talking about, as Jason said, you know, it's an uncomfortable subject matter. So, you know, as we take up offering, the one thing about the, I tell you what, I'm going to show something to you, and then we're going to take up the offering, okay? Right? We're going to take up. You already did? Okay, I didn't see that. All right. We're going to do another one, okay? There wasn't enough, people. I didn't see it. It didn't pass my way. So, you know, I gave it to the office. So, anyhow. You know, money, sorry about that. Money is a funny thing. There's so much shame and guilt with this whole deal. And we know that going in. And we're in the America, which is really, really upside down in America. Dave Phillips gave me a quote that said, "This week is Black Friday because only in America do people trample others for sales exactly one day after being thankful for what they already have." And only in America, only in America. And this week I got an email from Beth Matthews. You saw Beth up here a few weeks ago talking. She's our volunteer organizer and champion. And I got an email from her. And she said, "I've got a bone to pick with you," because her husband, Mike, had been looking for cars, looking to get a new car, and told Beth that after years and years of driving minivans and Honda Civics, he was going to get a man car. He was going to get a car that he really liked. So she said she told him in the email that to help his ego, she would make him a necklace he could wear that says, "I own a lake house, a boat, and three wave runners, so that's why I drive this car and not the luxury model." And she said that didn't, you know, he didn't embrace that idea. So I quote, "So we went car shopping, and it boiled down to the Acura NDX and the Honda CRV. Only a slight and almost completely unnoticeable $12,000 price difference between the two, by the way. So Frugalbath is rooting for the CRV. I even had Mike somewhat convinced that the black model with black interior looked classy and was a car any man would be proud to drive. And I'm also thinking Charlie is starting a series on money. This is really going to work to my advantage. Mike will see how God wants us to manage our money, and the decision to drive the CRV will prevail." Well, to my horror, less than 24 hours after car shopping, you tell the story about having to drive Jordan's CRV and what a chip car it is. I almost spit nails at the stage. Mike was literally full of glee. He says to me, he leans over during the message, and he says to me, "See, I told you God wants me to drive the Acura." And I'm so glad I can be used to speak the words of God into people's lives. But it's not unusual for during a money series that, I get people who come up to me and say, "We bought a new car. We moved into another house." And just like, I just want to get down with my chest because I feel so guilty about it. And so there's all this guilt and shame that floats around with this whole deal about money. And it's funny, it works that way. And the scriptures couldn't be clearer that what they want us to see is that we are graced people. That the message of the Bible, as we're looking at this parable of Jesus, is that we are all playing with house money. And you know that idiomatic phrase in our culture means there's nothing to lose. And when you're playing with house money, there's nothing to lose. I mean, you can just kind of say, okay, let's go with this. And that's really the picture Jesus gives in the parable of the talents. If you have a program, I want you to open that program up to the inside, because we have a parable we've been looking at. If you remember, the word parable is where Jesus would set up a story in parallel with the truth. And when you saw the story, you would understand the truth. And the truth that he wants us to see here is that we are all made. attorney who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Now, notice that word entrusted. You've been entrusted. What you see in this story is that the wealthy owner doesn't want to just use his servants to increase his money. What he has is a bigger picture in mind. He wants to use his money to increase his servants, to grow them. That's a real critical understanding on this. Your second most powerful spiritual growth tool is your money. No matter, you know, it doesn't matter what you do with a million of riches should ever be your lot. It's what you're doing right now with the dollar and the quarter that you've got. Whatever God has allowed you to have, he's entrusted that with you. And part of that deal is to grow you. Because money allows us to be our own little God. Nothing on the planet. This is the reason why money's such a big deal, is there's nothing that allows us to be our own little God like money does. We use the phrase independent of the wealthy. So he trusted. And he money gave five bags, five talents, that'd be about the equivalent of $10 million, to another two bags, or about $4 million, and to another one bag, about $1 million, about $2 million, each according to his ability. So he had watched them and said, this is what I think each of you is capable of managing. Now, again, these are below minimum wage servants, so they have hit the lottery. This is, of all things, a message of grace, that we are all these servants. We are grace abundantly. Then he went on his journey. Now, last week, we looked at the one talent man, the one bag man. And that guy, he went and buried his talent in the sand because he was afraid. I want to focus on these other two guys. The man who had received five bags of gold, verse 16, went off at once and put his money to work. He went at once. He was eager. He had initiative. He had ambition. And he put his money to work and gained five bags more. So it was 100% return. Anybody like to have 100% return on investment these days? So also the man with two bags, the one with two bags of gold, gained two more. Another 100% return. But the man who had received one went off, dug a hole in the ground, hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, and Pete's going to focus on this one next week, settled accounts with them. There's going to come a day when we're accountable for what we've been entrusted. And the man who received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold, see, I gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. What is this an invitation to? This isn't an invitation to come be a Christian, and part of it is being poorer than everybody else, a little bit more miserable than everybody else. You know, there was a guy who was asked one time, would you rather be rich and miserable or poor and happy? And he thought about it for a minute and said, I'd rather be semi-rich and moderately depressed, he said. And, you know, we think that to be a Christian is, you know, it's going to be moderately depressed because, well, if we follow Jesus, you just got to be a little poorer than everybody else. And you know, you got to be a little miserable, but you're doing it to be generous, so you got to do it. No, this is an invitation to happiness. This is an invitation to understand you're playing with house money. This is on God's house. That's for his deal. And so he says, oh, there's a freedom. But just notice that the master didn't tell them what to do with the money. There was a certain freedom with that, even with the responsibility. So he says, come and share. In verse 22, the man with two bags of gold also came. Master, you entrusted me two bags of gold. See, I gained two more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So somehow, what pleased the master was that these guys saw that a big part of what their freedom led to was a means by which they could honor the master with a return on his investment. And it wasn't just so that the master could grow his money. It was also so that he could grow them, as we see at the end of this parable. When he said, the bigger deal here is I wanted you to see what you would do for me. Now, we've been talking about this thing called money. And it gets real fuzzy, but I want to be very clear about something here today. As Jesus said, there are over 2,000 references to this in the scriptures. Jesus talked about money much more than he talked about prayer. Do you know that? Why is it? Because it's directly connected to our prayer. attracted to technology, but I look at that and I go, why didn't I think of that? Why did I try to write? Wish I had a notepad that could fit into my pocket. Because of the heat, players on the University of Florida's football team were easily dehydrated. So the Gator team doctor asked him, the school medical researcher, Dr. J. Robert Kay, for help. He and his researchers concluded the problem was a mixture of fluids and electrolytes that the athletes were losing. So in 1967, what did he invent? Gatorade. Last year, had over $2.6 billion in sales. Why didn't I think of that? 1946, Richard Neuer and Arthur Mellon founded the Willow Toy Company. And in it, they took a round tube, attached the ends of it, then they trademarked the name Hula Hoop. Started manufacturing the toy in 1958. In the first 6 months of 1958, 20 million Willow Hula Hoops sold for $1.95. Why didn't I think of that? 1968, Boston Man took out an ad in the paper inviting the residents of the city to dump their leaves in his backyard if they would give him a dollar a load. It came by the hundreds. He took their leaves, mulched them up, added some glue, sold them for a dollar a piece as fire logs. I did not think of that. David Kravitz and Eileen Spitney met on the playground when they were 5 years old. They always savored the brownies Kravitz's mother made for them. In high school, both had yearnings to be entrepreneurs. They pledged that someday they would have a business together. Years later, they remembered their pledge in the family brownies that in 1992 created Fairy Tale Brownies, which is now the especially great South Parker member of our community. After our sale with Bobbigen, Westerville Bobbigen run Side Effects Incorporated, our local company. And Bob was telling me, you know, their mission statement is, their mission is to develop and nurture relationships within communities while making a difference, serving Christ, and positively affecting people's lives. And they employ about 45 people. And we were talking about that. Bob had telling me this story. Look at this picture. He said one day, a while back, he was behind this truck, and this truck had this tiny little sign on the back, Andy Works for God. Phone number. He said, I had to get real close to read it. He said, as a company, what they do is they provide scoreboards for schools and things like that, signage. They're in the signage industry. And so they were talking about venturing into car wrapping. So Bob immediately gets real close to the car, dials the number on the truck, that truck, and he calls the guy out, the owner, who leads this lady, works for God, and has seen the truck. And he says, hey, I'm Bob Westerfield, and I saw your number on the back of your truck. You know, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong, but I'm trying to venture in our company to wrapping trucks. Could I wrap yours for free? Well, first the guy thought this is some scam. He had come in, and Bob agreed to do it, and the story. Listen to the story. A woman walks in to a bank and she's carrying two big bags of money. And she walks in and she says to the teller, she says, I want to open up an account. And the teller says, well, geez, there's two big bags of money. This is bigger than me. So, you know, president of bank's desk used to be anyway, they were in kind of the middle of the bank. And she calls the president over and says, this lady wants to open an account. And he says, well, how much do you have? She says, I have about $100,000 here. Whoa. You want to open an account? He says, well, how did you make all that money? And she says, well, I bet on future happenings. What do you mean future happenings? She says, well, I bet you $10,000 that next Monday you'll be wearing pink undershorts. And the president of the bank says, well, I don't know any pink undershorts. She says, no, I bet you $10,000 that next Monday you'll be wearing pink undershirts. And so he's thinking to himself, this poor lady is in way over her head. I need to teach her a lesson. He says, okay, I'll bet you $10,000. I'm not going to be wearing pink undershirts next Monday. Next Monday comes, she walks into the bank, she has a guy with her. She walks in and she goes, I want to settle her bet. He goes, I told you that I don't own any pink undershirts. She says, well, I want to settle her bet. So they go behind his desk, and right there, he unbuttons his breeches, and he pulls down his breeches, and the guy next to her faints. And he goes, what's wrong with him? She goes, well, I bet him $20,000 that I can get you to pull down your pants in the middle of this bank. And see, that's what Jesus would tell as a story. But he's not commending her ethics, but he would love that creativity. He would love that creativity. That in 1895, the U.S. Patent Commissioner moved that the United States Patent Office close because all of the great inventions had been made. That's before the automobile, telephone, 95% of the technology at least that we use today. I really think that the people of God ought to be the most creative people in the world because we are made in the image of the one who was creator. Now we look at our world in a different way. We're not a bunch of people afraid. No, we might lose it. No, we're playing with house money. We manage it wisely. We earn all we can. We give all we can. We save all we can. Why? Because the bigger deal here is not just that we grow our money. The bigger deal here is that the Master wants to grow us and grow his kingdom in this world. The greatest use of your money is to understand that its ultimate purpose is to bring up there, down here. Right now, what I want you to do is